Hello and welcome to the Super Kick. My name's Brandon and this is my wrestling podcast. Man, I gotta tell you, I've had this dream for a while to do a wrestling podcast. I'm a huge wrestling fan, I'm sure like you are. I love wrestling, man. I live, eat, breathe that. Everyone that I know talks about it with me, you know, like I have bosses at work that I chat up about it. Friends know that I love it. Girls, man, I go out on dates. I remember I was out on a date one time and the only thing I could talk about was wrestling because I love it so much. She was definitely bored to hell and didn't want me to talk anymore, but that's the only thing that I really know about. When I was at work the other day, somebody said, "Brandon, how do you know so much?" And I really don't. I just know a lot of useless information. Like, I know that Hulk Hogan won the WWF Championship from Iron Sheik in 1984. You know, I know that NWO was formed at Bash of the Beach 1996. I know all of these useless Hulk Hogan facts, apparently. But I know all of these random useless facts, especially about wrestling. Just a bit of a background. I started watching wrestling in 2007 because of SmackDown vs. Raw 2007, which is a phenomenal video game. GM mode is amazing. The first storyline that I really remember happening was Hornswoggle being the illegitimate child of Vince McMahon, and at the time I didn't really know about it, and doing research back, it's kind of crazy to find out, you know, that was supposed to be Mr. Kennedy, who was at the first ever live event that I went to, wasn't wrestling though, he got hurt in 2008. I thought Kennedy was going to be a big star. Speaking of big stars, I thought Chris Masters was going to be a big star too, and he's actually on this show. So let's get into it. This is the Throwback Thursday. And first edition of Throwback Thursday ever. The way we're going to be doing this, every Thursday there's going to be a Throwback Thursday podcast. Every Sunday there's going to be a weekly recap show. Every pay-per-view, right after the pay-per-view, I'm going to record a podcast talking about my thoughts on the pay-per-view. You know, if you have any requests on stuff with New Japan or Ring of Honor or anything like that, man, I would be more than happy to go over that and watch that and really give my thoughts on it because I love talking about this. And I think if anything, this provides an avenue for me to say my thoughts on professional wrestling and just talk and not feel weird about, like, talking to myself about it because chances are I'm going to be doing that when I talk about wrestling. Let's move into the show. Like I said, Throwback Thursday, it's July 19th. We're going to be talking about WrestleMania 21. The show was from Los Angeles, California, taking place at the Staples Center. Announced attendance of 20,193 fans. April 3rd, 2005. Starting the show off, we had Lillian Garcia singing America the Beautiful because Vince McMahon has to be different. He can't sing the national anthem. Because you got to be different from everybody else. You got to be different from any other sporting event out there. Super Bowl, what are they saying? They sing the national anthem. WrestleMania, man, it's wrestling. It's so much different than any other sport or event. Got to sing America the Beautiful. Got to be different. From there, we led into a video package. You know, this is Hollywood. WrestleMania goes Hollywood. We had some video packages. Started off with Eugene doing a Forrest Gump parody, one of my favorite movies of all time. You know, saying life is like a box of chocolates, and it goes into a bunch of different parodies. I thought it was kind of funny. I'm a big Eugene guy. I think Eugene was hilarious. So I think that was really cool to see him as Forrest Gump because characters are obviously similar, and the people that portray them are not actually mentally handicapped, but they play characters that are, so I thought that was kind of cool to see. Show started off with I thought it was a solid opener, man. I thought it was a great opener. Rey Mysterio versus Eddie Guerrero, WWE Tag Team Champions, lifelong friends. Two WCW guys, both guys were wrestling in World Championship Wrestling, primarily in the Cruiserweight division. Previous year at WrestleMania, Eddie Guerrero was the WWE champion. Now he's the tag team champion with Rey Mysterio. Way the feud kind of got started was they won the tag titles from the Bashams, and Chavo Guerrero was kind of like, you know what, Eddie, I bet you can't beat Rey. And he planted the seed. And it was a match to tear the house down and to steal the show. And while I don't think it was the best match on the card, I definitely think that it was a solid match. I thought it was a great match and a great opener. And it started the feud that would culminate in the custody papers for Rey Mysterio's real-life son, Dominic. I mean, you know, that was a storyline, but Dominic was Rey Mysterio's real-life son, a kid that actually went to school. I thought that was a pretty good feud, man. I love heel Eddie Guerrero. I love Eddie Guerrero of anything, but, man, Eddie Guerrero was just phenomenal. And this was actually Eddie Guerrero's last WrestleMania match. Start of Eddie's heel turn, kind of. We saw at the end of the match. I thought it was a great match, man. You know, there was a lot of lucha things in there, a lot of high-flying. Rey Mysterio was such a stud. Eddie Guerrero was such a stud, too. Mysterio was busted open. You could see his mouth was bleeding, or at least that's what we saw. Maybe a different part of his face was bleeding, but we saw him with a bloody mouth. Rey Mysterio won with a Hurricane Rana, kind of out of nowhere. Rolled up Eddie Guerrero, got the 1-2-3. And Rey Mysterio wins the match. Mysterio was more so rising. I mean, both guys were rising, but Eddie Guerrero had more success as a main event type guy because he did win the WWE Championship at No Way Out 2004 from Brock Lesnar and had walked into WrestleMania as champion before. Eddie was definitely the bigger star, but man, Rey was climbing the way up the ranks, and the following year we would actually see him in the World Heavyweight Championship match and win the World Heavyweight Championship match at WrestleMania 22. After the match, you can see, they shake hands, but you can kind of see some disdain from Eddie Guerrero, thinking, hey, man, maybe I should have won that match. That came out of nowhere, and I probably should have won that match. But like I said, I love things that build, and you could see Eddie Guerrero's heel turn building, and I thought that was awesome. Moving on, we saw JBL and Orlando Jordan, JBL being the WWE champion, and Orlando Jordan being the United States champion, walking backstage. They run into Triple H and the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Triple H, man, I love Triple H in this. I think he looks like like the man, He has the championship around his shoulder, he's drinking some coffee, bumps in, Triple H says, you call yourself the wrestling god. They have a stare down. Both are defending their championships tonight. JBL with the WWE title, Triple H with the World Heavyweight Championship. I thought this was a fun segment, man. I really liked it. Just talking about their opponents, talking about how they're both going to be victorious. And it's kind of funny seeing how the show ended. But let's move on to I don't want to say a match that revolutionized the business, but a match that, man, definitely changed it. Money in the Bank match. First ever Money in the Bank ladder match. Chris Jericho's concept, from what I've heard, it was actually his legit concept, probably because he wasn't doing anything at WrestleMania. Six guys that were mid to upper mid card, borderline main event guys. So you had Chris Jericho, Chris Benoit, Kane, Shelton Benjamin, Edge, and Christian. And, all six of these guys are solid guys. I would say definitely the weakest was probably Kane out of the six. But, man, Kane's a solid big man. For Kane's size, he's definitely a solid guy. And the way that he's lasted for so long, God, it's crazy. Ton of high spots in the match. One thing I noted, Shelton Benjamin was a stud in this match. Shelton Benjamin, I know he's employed by WWE right now, but, man, that guy should have been so much of a bigger of a star. I remember that match that he... I remember watching that match that he had with Shawn Michaels in 2004 on Raw. And, man, Shelton, he just... I think he could have been much more of a star than he actually was and would end up being. A ton of great spots in the match. Near the end, Tomko gets involved to try and help his buddy Christian win. Kind of reminded me of WrestleMania 17 with Rhino getting involved and helping Edge and Christian win. Both guys are bigger dudes. Christian ends up getting taken out, not winning the match. Fun fact about Christian... Last WrestleMania until WrestleMania 25, where he would also compete inside of a Money in the Bank ladder match. Christian would go on to TNA. I thought he had a phenomenal run in TNA, pardon the pun, because AJ Styles. I thought he had a great run in TNA. And Jericho's last WrestleMania until WrestleMania 24, and at WrestleMania 24, he was also involved in the Money in the Bank match. So I thought that was kind of cool tidbits that it was both their last WrestleManias, and when they made the return to WrestleMania, it would both be in the Money in the Bank ladder match. Edge wins the match. And going into the match, people weren't sure. They thought it would kind of be like how Rob Van Dam cashed it in and announced the cash-in ahead of time. Didn't end up being like that. There's only been a couple cash-ins where the Money in the Bank holder announces that they're going to cash it in at a certain date and have a full match. Edge cashed in the Money in the Bank against John Cena at New Year's Revolution 2006, the following January, getting the nickname of the Ultimate Opportunist, which is funny because they use the Ultimate Opportunist name a couple times in the match, not to describe the Ultimate Opportunity. Edge would go on to have that as a moniker for the rest of his career. I thought it was a great match. I thought it was such a fun match. You opened the card up with two phenomenal matches, Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero, and the Money in the Bank match, the first Money in the Bank match. I thought they were two solid matches to open up the show. Moving on, we saw Eugene comes out and talks about his favorite WrestleMania, King Kong Bundy slamming a midget. That's what he said. He said midget. I think that was a little bit before PC culture came in more. Muhammad Hassan comes out. Muhammad Hassan, huge fan. They just talked about him on the Bruce Pritchard show, Something to Wrestle. And, man, like, what an unfortunate ending for this guy. This guy was a main event guy. If you look at all the matches he was in and the programs he was involved in, the guy was a main event guy. He had the look. He had the athletic ability. It sucks what happened to him. I feel so bad for that guy because he could have been a superstar, and he'd probably still be around if it wasn't for some unfortunate timing. So Hassan comes out and asks Eugene if he knows why he's angry, and Eugene says that he doesn't like midgets, which, man, I love Eugene. God, I thought that was hilarious. Hassan talks about how he's being excluded from the show and they're keeping him out of WrestleMania, you know, building off of his gimmick and just saying, you know, like, they don't want me to be successful. They're keeping me off the show. And I think everyone knows what happens. Hulk Hogan comes out, brother. The previous night, he was inducted into the Hall of Fame. He comes out, clears the ring. Him and Eugene celebrate. Hogan poses with the fans. WrestleMania 21, man. I love that so much. Moving on from there, we have another solid match on the card. Randy Orton taking on The Undertaker. Going into the match, Undertaker was 12-0. Previous year, he defeated Kane after returning to the Undertaker gimmick and to the original OG Undertaker gimmick. They do make note of the streak in the video package, which I thought was cool. They put on a really solid match. This was an interpromotional matchup as Taker was on SmackDown, Randy Orton was on Raw. Cowboy Bob Orton interfered in the match. Again, a really solid match. I thought it was, you know, nothing spectacular, nothing that's going to steal the show. But definitely a solid match. At the end, Orton tries for a tombstone piledriver, the ultimate sign of disrespect. Undertaker reverses it. Undertaker sends Randy Orton right to hell, wins the match, streak continues, 13-0. Spoiler alert, come on, it's the Undertaker. The guy didn't lose until Brock Lesnar and then until Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, which I don't like either decision, but that's a discussion for another day. So after this, the feud would continue. Randy Orton was on Raw, but in June of 2005, they had the WWE draft, which took place over a month period. Orton was the second pick for SmackDown. Orton resumed his feud with Undertaker. The two faced each other at SummerSlam that year. Orton would win, and then at No Mercy, Orton and his father, Bob Orton, would defeat Undertaker in a 2-on-1 handicap casket match, lighting the casket on fire. You know, Undertaker's dead, and he comes back, though, and they have a Hell in a Cell match at Armageddon 2005, which, man, Hell in a Cell, best way to end a feud ever. I hate that there's a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view because you're forcing Hell in a Cell matches. Like, I remember the first year they brought Hell in a Cell as the pay-per-view in. They had CM Punk versus The Undertaker. Man, that match did not need to be a Hell in a Cell match. Like, come on. As much as I love both guys, and as much as I love, you know, I thought the match was solid, match did not need to be a Hell in a Cell. Hell in a Cell matches should strictly be reserved for feud enders, man. Just like that match was at Armageddon. Feud enders, I love it so much. Hell in a Cell, probably the best gimmick they've come up with, in my opinion at least. Moving on next, we have Trish Stratus and Christy Hemme. Christy Hemme posed for Playboy, which I think got her the shot at the Women's Championship. Christy Hemme came out with Lita. My opinion, they probably should have just done Lita and Trish Stratus for the title at WrestleMania. You know, arguably the best women's feud of all time. Even with all of the women's revolution and stuff, man, these two women were pioneers for the modern day division. Man, you see all of these women wrestlers idolized Trish Stratus and idolized Christy Hemme. And just two solid workers in ring, just amazing workers. Pretty short match, only 4 minutes long. Stratus wins with the chick kick. Again, like I said, I think the match would have been much better if it was just Trish and Lita, because that's such an iconic feud. Moving on to which, honestly, I think is probably the best match on the show, Kurt Angle versus Shawn Michaels. Kurt Angle taking on Shawn Michaels in an interpromotional match. Man, these guys are two of the best in-ring wrestlers of all time, if not the best wrestlers of all time. Kurt Angle is just such, man, like, I love Kurt Angle. He's still on TV as the GM of Raw. Huge Shawn Michaels fan, both just great in the ring. So the way the feud started was, it was Royal Rumble. Royal Rumble's in January, obviously. Shawn Michaels eliminated Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle got pissed about it. Kurt Angle came back into the match and eliminated Shawn Michaels. That started a beef between them. And during the lead up to this match, you had probably one of my favorite songs. Not a promo. One of my favorite songs of all time. The "I'm Just a Sexy Kurt" rendition with Sherry Martel. Ah, man, I think that's hilarious. I think Kurt Angle was like just one of the funniest guys they've had in the company. Like, if you think about it, from like charisma, like, he had what it took to be funny. And like Kurt Angle, you could be serious with him, he could be funny. He was just a hilarious guy and had that natural comedic presence. Like I said, an amazing match. You know, two of the best in-ring performers of all time. You know, arguably top 10 for both of them. A lot of people say that Shawn's the best. I don't know if I agree with that or not, but they put on a phenomenal match. Definitely the best match of the card. And that includes the Money in the Bank match. I love ladder matches. Kurt Angle wins the match with an ankle lock. A lot of good spots in the match. After the match, the fans give Shawn Michaels a standing ovation because these guys put on a hell of a match. They put on a wrestling clinic. Moving on from there, we have Piper's Pit segment with Roddy Piper, obviously. Host was Stone Cold Steve Austin. Carlito comes out to interrupt the promo, starts talking smack with them. Piper and Austin, man, two of the best talkers in the history of professional wrestling. Yeah, Carlito insults both Austin and Piper. Stone Cold Steve Austin, though. What's Stone Cold Steve Austin most famous for, other than raising hell? The Stone Cold Stunner. Stone Cold gives a good old stunner to Carlito, takes him out. Fun segment, and Roddy Piper and old Stone Cold get a beer. And like I said, man, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know what he's going to do? He kicks Roddy Piper, gives him a good old stunner, and that wraps up the segment. Moving on, we go to a horrible match. It's not even a match. It's a sumo match. Aki Bono and Big Show wrestle in a sumo match. Aki Bono gets the win. It was about a minute long. He just kind of throws him out. There's some pushing involved. I don't know if this was a work or shoot or not. I would assume it was a shoot or a work. But if they're doing a sumo match, like, why wouldn't they have Big Show go over? There's more money in Big Show, obviously, because he's going to stick around. I know Aki Bono did some professional wrestling matches, but it just seemed like such a weird show. Like, it's not like they were in, like, an Asian market or anything. Man, it just seemed like really out of place and a terrible, I thought it was a terrible like match or whatever. Man, Big Show, he's been in a few interpromotional few promotional matches at WrestleMania. Floyd Mayweather, and they had the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, which Shaq came out in. They had a stare down. Big Show's like their guy. Maybe it's because of the spectacle and because of how huge he is, but it just seems like that's what they have for Big Show. Moving on, man, we're going to move on to the main event. I feel like I'm going really short on this review, but hopefully in other weeks I'll have more to say about the show and have more of a review. Let's move on to the main event. JBL defends the WWE Championship against John Cena. So the deal was JBL beat Eddie Guerrero for the title at Great American Bash. JBL was Bradshaw before, teamed with Farouk. Farouk retired, and then JBL came out and became this New York millionaire guy. And I love JBL, man. I think it's a great gimmick. I thought he was so dislikable, and he's just such a dislikable guy that he just makes a great heel. You know, Jim Cornette says that, you know, the easy thing about people that are PRs in real life is that it's easy to make them a heel. You just take somebody that's a jerk in real life and you make them a heel, and the transition is seamless because that's what they're used to doing. This was the coronation for John Cena. You know, I mean, John Cena still wrestles to this day, but man, he was the guy for 10 years, man. He had the biggest reign as the guy in the company. And I know that Roman Reigns is calling himself the guy, but man, John Cena's been that guy for 10 years. And arguably still is that guy. I know he's not competing for championships anymore, but I would say up until 2015, John Cena was that guy. And I guess Reigns is that guy now, but man, he just had such an unprecedented reign as being the face of the company. I'm not really a big Cena guy. I think he kind of sucks, in my opinion, as a worker. I'm sure he's a great human being. I'm sure he's an amazing guy. But Cena was pretty over with the crowd. It's weird. If you compare this to WrestleMania 22 from the following year, I know that Chicago is a smarter crowd than LA, but man, like, Cena was over with this crowd, and the next year, they, like, boot him out of the building. It's crazy to think about. Cena wins the match with the FU. It was an alright match. I don't know, like, I felt like this match and the last match were comedowns from seeing Angle and Michaels and the Money in the Bank match and Mysterio and Guerrero. You know, you had some solid matches, and then you had this. I didn't think it was a terrible match. I know that Dave Meltzer gave it a star and a quarter. I thought it was better than that. I thought it was a solid two-star match. Gives John Cena the title, solidifies the first of your main event guys, and, you know, somebody that's, you know, going to be like the next Stone Cold Steve Austin, the next Hulk Hogan of the company for a longer time. But he was the guy, and this was Cena's coronation. Something crazy that I thought, John Cena's first WWE Championship reign, 280 days. You know how long JBL's was? 280 days. How crazy is that? Both guys had 280-day reigns as champion. That's insane. My boy AJ Styles is going to challenge for that. He's a 240-plus right now, which is insane to me. Longest title reign since Punk. It's cool to see long title reigns. I love a long title reign. I think it really means that the company's investing in you to be the guy. Let's move on. We're going to move on to the main event, the Evolution breakup, the match that probably had the biggest build of all of the matches, considering the history. You know, Batista came on as the Evolution protege. He was the enforcer. He was the bodyguard. Guy ended up being the bigger star of the group, both from a mainstream standpoint and as a wrestler standpoint. I love Batista. I'm a huge Batista guy. Batista won the Royal Rumble after him and Cena took each other out. Vince McMahon came down to the ring, and funny story, I guess it's not funny, but I think it's hilarious. Vince McMahon tears both of his quads coming into the ring, and you had that hilarious promo with Vince McMahon just sitting on the ring, in the middle of the ring, not standing up, has to sit in the middle of the ring because the guy can't get up, and announces that they have to restart with Batista and Cena. Batista throws out Cena. It was a botch. Batista was just supposed to throw him out. But at the end of the day, I think that worked out better, man, because I think it chose put Cena into more of a main event spot. I think that actually worked out well for them. I know it was an accident, but I thought it worked out pretty well. It's crazy, though, because you think that, like, Orton was supposed to be the guy. Orton was supposed to be the big star of the group. Batista comes in. He's the big star. Batista wins the match. Batista bomb. I don't think that was a surprise to anyone that Batista would, like I said, you know, you have the coronation of John Cena, but you also had the coronation of Batista as a main event guy and as being, one of the guys of the company. This feud would continue, though. You had a match at Backlash, which Batista would win. And you had a match at Vengeance 2005. Hell in a Cell match. Like I said, man, Hell in a Cell. Perfect ending to any feud. Batista beats Triple H at Vengeance 2005. Batista's over with this crowd, man. See, this is why I think Batista was more, I mean, until like 2010 when he was doing his heel stuff, in 2009, it kind of wore out on people, but I always thought Batista was more of a likable guy than John Cena. John Cena seemed so phony, whereas Batista seemed a lot more legit to me and seemed like much more of a relatable guy. You know, he had kind of a bad upbringing, living in Washington D.C. I know there were like shootings outside of his house and stuff, and a lot of crazy stuff. But I think Batista, in my opinion, was a much more likable guy. So yeah, that's WrestleMania 21, man. I thought this was a great show. I thought it was a fun show to go back and watch. You had celebrities there. They had Rob Schneider and Adam Sandler in the crowd. I would have given it 8 out of 10, man. Again, like Angle and Shawn, what a great match. Money in the Bank match, such a great match. Mysterio and Guerrero, amazing match. And you just look at the impact that the show has had. You know, you have Batista and Cena solidified as championship guys. You have Hulk Hogan on the show. You have Stone Cold Steve Austin on the show. You have the creation and the debut of Money in the Bank on the show, which is a concept they still use. I mean, Braun Strowman just won the cash-in, won the championship, or the Money in the Bank briefcase a month ago. And even, you know, you have a women's match. It's kind of like the Royal Rumble now. It's, I would say it's probably in the top. I know they have the top four, but I would say it's a bigger show than Survivor Series. It's a fun show. It's a fun match. Who doesn't love ladder matches, right? And it's also cool that that Y2J Chris Jericho came up with that. I hope you enjoyed this. Again, I know, man. Like, I feel bad because it was pretty short, but I had a fun time doing it and just talking wrestling. Because usually I have to talk to myself about this. This will be up, today. It's I'll post the link on my Twitter. I'm going to try and get this up on iTunes because I want people to listen to it. I want people to listen to it because I want people to hear what my thoughts are. And to be honest with you, I really want to hear your thoughts. Like I said, I love creating a discussion and I love just talking about wrestling. And I love having a discussion with people. And if you tweet at me, you know, it's at Superkick Show. Would you literally just change the Twitter handle? I would love it if you just reached out to me and started talking about wrestling with me, and because I think it would be a fun discussion. Like I said, I'm getting kind of tired of talking to myself about what I would do, and you know, I have so many like different ideas and so many different things that I'd love to do. And an idea that I would love to have, that I would love to do honestly, is a maybe a show where we do some guest booking, and we book like a show, and we book a storyline. Like, let's say, how would we book like Bobby Lashley winning the Universal Championship, or how would we go back and book the Invasion, or how would we book a TNA invasion of WWE? Man, like, I think that's a ton of fun. I love stuff like that. Like, I just love stuff like that, and I just want to do stuff that not only am I interested in, but if you're interested in hearing. And if you're listening to this, like, to be honest, I don't really expect anyone to listen to this just because it is the first show. You know, I would love to grow an audience. I'd love to just interact with people, man. I love hearing people's thoughts. I keep saying that a lot, but I genuinely do. And I'm so excited about this. You know, like, I really want to build something. I think we can do it. I'm not going to say that I think I can do it, because I think that we need to create a partnership, me and you, whoever you may be. I think we need to create a partnership and really listen to the shows and just show support for, I'd love it if you supported me. And if you come out and say, hey man, like, I'm a listener of the show. I'm a listener of you. I'm a follower of you, man. I'm going to support you. You know, if you scratch my back, you got to know that I'm going to be scratching your back and that I'm going to be looking out for you. And, man, I just love having connections with people, and I really want to form a connection with an audience. Man, and at the end of the day, this is just something fun to do. Like, I've never been more passionate about anything in my entire life than wrestling. Like, man, I became a fan, and I love it so much, and I'm sure you do too, and I'm sure there's a ton of people out there that share the same passion that I do. And I'm, like I said, I'm just trying to have a genuine moment right now. If you were listening, you definitely tuned out. But, man, I think we can do something. I think we can do something great. I think we can really build something amazing. This has been Brandon for the Superkick. Check out a blog post. We got a blog post coming tomorrow. We got a YouTube vid coming on Monday and Tuesday. And we got another podcast doing a weekly recap of modern day wrestling on the show on Sunday. So, I really hope you do check that out. And love you guys, and peace out.